evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, February 6th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, just to the listeners, during, you know, waiting to begin the program, we were talking about the Super Bowl. And if we watched it, I asked Al if he had watched it, and I told him I watched a little bit, and I think, personally, in my view, everybody tuned in just to watch to see if there was any political, what the political commercials in halftime might be, but it was it ended up to be a pretty good football game, to say the least. Probably the best ever. Absolutely, it was. There was a pretty big spread going into halftime. Everybody wrote off the Patriots. Everybody wrote off Tom Brady, and he came back with a vengeance and ended up winning the game. So, tremendous second half. Didn't watch it because, as everyone else, I thought perhaps the game was over, and I'm not a fan of Tom Brady, but you have to give the guy credit. And so, I didn't see any commercials. I didn't see anybody playing any commercials again of any interest. You know, there was one by the, 84 Lumber. I don't know what that was all about. You know, immigration and so forth. But so they made a political statement on the deal. But, you know, I don't think a football game is the time for political statements. But Lady Gaga, I did watch that at the halftime, and I was surprised. I mean, certainly I'm not a fan of hers, but she did it with a little bit of, let me put it this way, certainly a lot more class than Beyonce of last year. I mean, it was just, I don't know if you know who either one are, Al.
Yeah, I do. I'm aware. I'm not impressed by, I mean, it's not, I'm not a fan of either one of them. I mean, I understand Beyonce a little bit. Lady Gaga has just kind of irritated me for years. It's just such a farce. I mean, a lot of people believe she's a good singer and the rest of that sort of thing, and I don't doubt that's true, but there are things about that woman that really rubbed me the wrong way. And I don't like her. All right, and she may be a very talented woman and a great, great show woman and the rest of that sort of thing, but there are some things about that woman that really just bug me.
Well, you have to know that she is a brilliant, I mean, she did market herself, but, I mean, there's always been rumors. I mean, you know, didn't she have horns implanted, and, you know, she took up a little bit to the dark side, and really, she only started changing after she started singing with Tony Bennett. Now, when she sings with Tony Bennett, she has a beautiful voice. Those two together, I mean, and when she sings, you know, songs like she did the national anthem last year and so forth, she has a beautiful voice. It's when she gets into the dark side that she's creepy. And, but anyway.
Yeah, no, she wears a meat dress. Meat.
Yeah. Hey, well, she made attracts- millions.
I understand she, you know, that. She undoubtedly still is, because here we are talking about it. So it worked.
Hey,
it
I want to talk about gold, though, today. And I know all the
all right, then you may
here.
Or you have to, if you want to, hey, put on a gold dress. You understand?
So I need to put on a gold dress and a gold foil hat.
Yep.
Here we go. Gold today had a great day. And in the aftermarket, it continues to climb in the New York spot price, up $1,580 for gold today at $1,236. Silver had a similar day, up almost about the same percentage, up 23 cents today at $1,783. Platinum was up 10 at $1,016. Palladium was up 23 at $775. The USDX today was also higher today, 0.13 at 99.86. Crude oil was down a little bit, 0.72 at 53.11. Paper markets today, there's a little pressure on them. I don't think anything yet. So take advantage of these small down days because you're going to see a lot bigger down days. The Dow is down 19 points at 20,000. 52. The NASDAQ was down 3 at 56.63. The S&P down 4 at 22.92. 10-year yield dropped 0.08, 2.41%. We just might see gold growing its own legs. So we'll have to see. I mean, one day doesn't make a trend, but we'll certainly, it was a good day today for gold. And Germany was down 1.25% overnight. We're still hanging around the neutral area for that greed, the fear and greed index. But it was a nice day. We had, we were already posting about a 6.5% gain this year, in more than 2 months. So, you know, gold is doing quite nice. It's always good to see when, you know, you have these mainstream investors who have 45, 50 years covering the markets, and they're all pro paper and so forth. And it's always interesting to see when they begin to change their tune on gold. This David Roche, Independent Strategies, been in the business for 45 years covering the markets, and he thinks gold's going to climb this year due to, as investors seek a shelter from the political risk, the rising political risk surrounding President Donald Trump. Now, you have to, there certainly is a lot going on, and that's what he's basing his prediction on. But certainly there will be a lot of uncertainty. There's going to be a lot of international tension going into this year, next year, maybe 4, 5, 8, 10 years. But certainly gold is poised to rise. Silvers will certainly follow along, and they both will do very well this year. So, folks, if you're not positioned and you don't have your paper invested, covered properly, give us a call here at 1-800-375-4188. Nearly 100 companies, including some of high-tech's biggest names, joined a legal brief opposing President Donald Trump's temporary travel ban, arguing that it would give companies incentives to move jobs outside the United States. These companies, Apple, Google, Microsoft, they all banded together late Sunday to file a friend of the court brief with the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, arguing that the ban inflicts significant harm on American business. And of course, this is, as everyone knows, this is in reflection to Trump's January 27th executive order temporarily barring entry into the United States of people from 7 Muslim-majority nations, as well as suspending the refugee program. And then on Friday, a federal judge in Seattle temporarily blocked the order. The Trump administration had a deadline, I think it was 3 o'clock today, to justify its actions at the appeals court. Pending the next ruling in the case, the travel ban remains suspended, and people with valid visas who had been blocked are allowed to travel. Refugees are also have resumed. But the companies backing a lawsuit brought against the ban by the Washington state argued that he had created uncertainty for companies and is afraid that they're going to lose business. Goes on to say that highly skilled immigrants will be more interested in working abroad in places where, well, what's wrong with that? In places where they and their colleagues can travel freely and with assurance that their immigration status will not suddenly be revoked. Are we so underskilled in workers that immigrants are preferred? I mean,
in some cases,
that's really sad. There's no reason we should be underskilled.
Well, I understand that. There's another article here that Stefan Lindman published, and he said Americans, the most over-entertained, uninformed, know-nothings. He writes, he says, what more appropriate topic than the Super Bowl Sunday? The National Retail Federation estimates around 189 million Americans tuning in, myself not among them. On Monday, That was on Sunday, of course. 189 million tuning in. On Monday, they'll know all about the game, but nothing about major issues of our time, hugely affecting their lives, welfare, and future. And yeah, there's more to the article. I'm not going into the rest of it. But he makes a point. He says he describes Americans as the most over-entertained and most uninformed people, right? And insofar as there's a point to this, and we spend too much time on entertainment and not enough on trying to educate ourselves, we're being left behind. You know, there's a situation where when you're wealthy, you can afford to waste your time being entertained. But when you're poor, you've got to make an effort. If you want to get out of that poverty, you've got to make an effort, and that means you've got to learn something. And we have people from foreign countries, India, China, probably Korea, yeah. Right? They're working hard to try to not just better themselves, but working hard to survive. And the result is they wind up producing people that have significant skills that are valuable in manufacturing and whatever in business, and on top of which they work for next to nothing.
Well, not only that, Al, look at our school system. I mean, come on, they've dumbed down these people so much, these kids and so forth. These kids, the ones who do get a degree, get degrees they don't even use.
Yep.
And I mean, and yet it's cost them or their families, you know, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a racket. And yet these people, these kids who can't find jobs, you tell me that we have a country full of unskilled workers? I mean, no, it doesn't make sense.
Here's the problem. Here's the flip side. The business,
you know, you have college educated,
what they want is cheap.
You have college educated kids working at McDonald's and grocery stores, and they're still underskilled, and you're right. They want cheap.
Yeah, that's
you know,
what
they bring
want.
Them in, and they want
they say,
cheap.
Oh, give us,
they get
give
educated
us.
Here. They go to Harvard. I mean, heck, most of your, not most of your terror, didn't Obama's family, not Obama's, but Bin Laden, supposedly, didn't his family get educated here, Harvard and so forth? And it's, they go on, the article that I was talking about, you know, these high-tech companies saying ultimately American workers and the economy will suffer as a result. So what, are they threatening us? Say, well, you know what, if you don't open up the, you know, the lines again where we can bring in these skilled workers, we'll just pull our factories out of the U.S. and the
hit you in the butt on the way out.
But you know, what it's amazing is there, to me, it sounds like a threat to me, but it is also the American worker who buys all their crap that they sell.
I know. I understand. And the business, what really galls me about this is businessmen who don't give a damn about anything other than more money, more money, more money. All right? Whether or not we get skilled labor here that are Americans is an interesting question. But whether or not we actually destroy the culture in this nation by bringing in so many foreigners that the people who live here can't make it anymore. I mean, you wind up a stranger in your own country. What do we need more? Do we need big business with cheap labor making fat profits? Or do we need to somehow preserve the culture in this country and try to respect it, number one, preserve it, number two, protect it, number three? Do we really need the culture, or do we need big business? And my opinion is we need the culture.
The problem, Al, is this is a prime example of what happens when government and business gets in bed together. I mean, they've been there a long time, so you're not going to easily, you know, kick them out and so forth. This is the problem. So now you have corporations that are threatening the government, that are threatening to pull their factories out, and don't know if they will. This is just a likely threat, and I think most likely, I do believe Trump's ban will get back into force and so forth. Mm-hmm. But also, if you look at the judge, I mean, did anybody really think? I mean, when you look to who, does anybody think this? The judge that ruled against Trump is a Bush appointee.
Yeah, no,
now,
Republican.
Come on, folks. You know, do you know it took? You know, they had to find a judge, you know, in Washington. I mean, how long did it take for them to find somebody that would, you know,
Well, is this about the judge or is this about Bush? I mean, who does Bush ever appoint? Did he understand what he was doing?
No, the point is, Al, look at all the things that Trump said about Bush during the election. Okay?
About Jeb Bush.
I'm talking about Jeb Bush, but it was his brother who appointed the judge.
Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah.
I mean, come on. This is just a little...
Well, here's something else that is interesting. All right, because I'm involved in legal reform issues, and I get some interesting email from people that are more concerned about the law than they are about politics and Super Bowl and the rest of it. And here's one. It talks about the McCarran-Walter Act of 1952. And it says, responding to President Trump's ban on Muslims, a number of congressmen and senators swore that they would never allow such a legislation. However, a selective immigration ban is already law and has been applied on several occasions. Known as the McCarran-Walter Act, the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952 allows for the, quote, suspension of entry or imposition of restrictions by the president whenever the president finds that the entry of aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interests of the United States. The president may, by proclamation, and for such period as he shall deem necessary, he may suspend the entry of aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose any restrictions on the entry of aliens he may deem appropriate. This is on the books right now. And who do you suppose the last utilized this process? Why, it was Democrat President Jimmy Carter. No less than 37 years ago in 1979, to keep Iranians out of the United States. Carter made all Iranian students already in the United States check in with the government, and then he deported 15,000 Iranians in 1979. All right? So, point to this is that the law already exists to justify what Trump has attempted to do. And apparently, Trump was not aware of it. His lawyers aren't aware of it. The judge wasn't aware of it. Everybody's meddling in this thing. And the law's been on the books since 1952. Mm-hmm. So what Trump did was quite legal, constitutional. It's been done before. Jimmy Carter did it. So this isn't done. We'll watch and see how this shakes out. But everybody...
Wait, you don't think...
It's part of...
You don't think the Patriot Act doesn't have wording of a similar... sections? I'm sure it does. I mean, it was even discussed that they would use the Patriot Act because of the, you know, if anyone was a threat to the U.S., that they'd be able to use that to build the wall. They'd be able to use the funds from the Patriot Act. So, you know, I'm sure it's there, you know, multiple
times. It's there.
Times.
This whole thing is just messy and hypocritical, and people are just scrambling for a
day. Timing is everything. Friday night before the big weekend when all the people watch, yeah, it's silly. But we'll see. We'll see.
We're going to hear some commercials. But please stay tuned. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, this is just a brief, this came out today for those of you in New Jersey. Syrian-born mayor of Prospect Park signed an executive order on Friday that declared the county borough of 5,865 a sanctuary, small area, but a sanctuary for immigrants. So, it's just...
I'd try him for treason.
Well, you know...
I'll tell you the other thing. If you are in one of these sanctuary cities and you get mugged, robbed, raped, whatever, murdered by an illegal alien, I believe the government is complicit in the crime. Sue them. Stick a lawsuit to them that'll make their ears bleed. All right? I mean, what are you talking about? What are these people talking about? We're going to bring criminals in, and we're going to provide sanctuary for them. And if they happen to rob, rape, or murder somebody, well, it's a small price to pay. Bunk. If I were bringing criminals into my home and I was providing them with security from being arrested and deported or jailed or whatever, if I was doing it all by myself and I got caught, I would be jailed. I'd certainly be charged. Why not mayors? Why not city council? You want a sanctuary city for criminals? Is that what you want? You want the federal government to send you money, of course, you know, you need the money, but then you want to have sanctuary for criminals, people who've entered this country illegally, and we're going to have sanctuaries for them? All right. If your little friends here that you're keeping the sanctuary for, if they violate the law, if they ruin anybody's car, house, or whatever else, you are going to be liable as an accomplice.
See what I don't understand?
Lawsuits like that to succeed, and this thing would disappear. Sanctuary cities would go bye-bye.
You know, they always talk about all these refugees or women and children. Well, show us the pictures. Bonk. And I have seen the pictures that they prayed around of the sick ones, the ones that needed the heart transplant, and you know the one that was burned and so forth. But show us the other ones. Show us the pictures of the women and children, because they're not anywhere to be found.
But you see in pictures, I've seen pictures of just what you're talking about in Europe, where they've calculated 80-90% of the refugees are fighting age males.
Yes.
They're leaving the women and children back where they're coming
there.
From. Let them fight it out. And these fighting age males are coming into these foreign countries. And the stories of rape and routine, I mean, they are inclined. They want to rape whatever the women are that are not following the Muslim culture, they think they're entitled to rape them.
Well, I told you about
it's insane. It can't be tolerated, and yet we have governments and who not only tolerate but encourage these problems. And the reason is because these people are dedicated to a new world order, one world government. They are engaged in treason. I guarantee you, there's no proviso in the Code of France or the United States Constitution for our government to engage in activities that is going to destroy this nation and by subverting it to some greater global enterprise, global government. There's no proviso for that. And they can't do it without destroying this country, and that is treason. Somebody needs to be tried, and yet we just skate around and say, oh, that's, you know, just wink, wink.
But you know what I don't understand? And you get, this is a small town, you know, 5,800 people, 6,000, and they elected this person. So you don't know who that population consists of to begin with. But they do watch the mainstream media. They do see the pictures that are floated, you know, on CNN and, you know, the liberal stations and so forth. And they probably do think, well, you know, it's okay. And then these mayors and so forth, how much money do they get from the federal government? And then they just destroy the towns.
Well, I'll make you a bet.
Even if there is no crime or criminals and so forth, they still destroy the towns. And the people just are so blind to everything.
Well, everybody's willing to go along with this if the government's willing to subsidize these illegal aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can bring 5,000 illegal aliens into your community and all of them are somehow eligible to get financial support from the government, that means you have just injected a great deal of currency into your community. And I don't doubt that a lot of the people that are running these places say, we need the money. We don't care about preserving the United States of America. We need the money to run our little racket here, where our city, our county, whatever it is. And we think we can get some of that money from government. Government's going to give it to the illegals. The illegals will spend it locally. You know, it's like bringing tourists into your joint or into your business. They spend money. Illegal aliens spend money. And if they get it from the government, who cares? You know, it's just incredibly stupid. It's short-sighted. It's dangerous. And it's not going to work out well. Sooner or later, there will be a big reaction. And when it happens, there people are going to be screaming racism and culturalism and anti-Semitism and God knows what all they're going to scream. But others are going to be screaming America, right? And Trump has tapped into this to some degree. And we'll watch and see how it works out, but it won't work out. I don't believe this is going to work out peacefully. I don't believe it's going to work out painlessly. We have treasonous whores, in my opinion, that want to keep bringing these immigrants into this country and destroying this country. And we have other people that are going to stand up and try to resist them. And the left is already, I mean, they're behaving like a bunch of thugs every time you turn around. They seem to think that, you know, it used to be that we thought of the liberals. They were intellectuals. They read books. They were like college professors. They might be a little stupid and a little weak, but they were, you know, they were not violent per se. What we're learning is, good God, the left is more violent than some people. I mean, they have more in common with the Nazis than they do with some peace movement or whatever. And you know, that's not true for everybody who is a leftist or, you know, communist, socialist, whatever, but it certainly does appear that way. Things have been orchestrated that way, and it's making us hysterical. And we are all increasingly inclined to overreact to some of this stuff. And I wonder if maybe we're being hustled on that basis. Do you think we're being manipulated, Melody?
To some degree, yes.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we'll watch how this unfolds. But you know, we had that the article that we talked about just briefly. Stephen Lindman, he did an article on Americans are the most overly entertained and under.
That's what our whole economy is based on anymore: is entertainment, services, well, entertainment, restaurants.
We need to get away from that, in part because we need to realize we're being manipulated, we're being hustled. And they get away with it because we be dumb. And if you want to stop being manipulated and being hustled, you really need to crack open some books. Mm-hmm. You need to make it your business to read things that are on the internet. Read things. all right, about politics, about geopolitics, about, you know, supply and demand and economics, where you can make an intelligent decision and not be stampeded. There's people out here that are going to try to stampede us into things that are ultimately that we may be susceptible to.
Well, the problem is,
oh, that's a good idea, and you get carried away. Next thing you know, we all live to regret it.
Well, the problem, Al, is our listeners, they're already in tune. They're already educated. It's the other 300 million Americans out there that tuned in, or the however many millions of Americans tuned into the football game last night. And they're not listening.
189 million is what they said.
Is that how many? Well, it's those are the ones that will not pick up a proper book and so forth. You know, what's interesting is I was talking to someone the other day, and they had a their church had like this book club, and the thinking anymore, those that do pick up books, those that do have discussions and so forth, you know, half of them are reading, they're not reading both sides, they're only reading one side.
I know.
And their conclusion was the first sin of this country was racism. I said, what? And it just took me such by surprise that the first sin of this country, and it's like, well, how do you figure that? And of course, you know, it was the same story that you hear that's preached, you know, from the liberals, and it's but you have to read something else to, and that's it, this country is so divided anymore, and everything that we do, you pick sides.
Polarized.
And it starts, and we've been programmed. It isn't the issues. It isn't. It's so much we've been programmed to take sides. And you're going to take sides with whoever surrounds you the most, you know, whoever you socialize with and live with and so forth. And, you know, when the reality programs that started, that's a big part of the conditioning. I mean, sure, you can go to the schools, you know, where they begin, you know, on the children and so forth. I get all that. That's been going on for a long time. But you can see it progress. And these reality programs, you pick sides, you choose. Everything is picking and choosing. And
yeah, but
it's like
picking and choosing
it's
based
like the gladiators. And eventually, there will be games to where you decide. Look at our health care. They decide many times who lives and who dies, and it's just becoming a normal and an acceptance. It's okay. Hey, we euthanize our dogs, so hey, you know, let's take the misery out of people. And I mean, it's just
the world is becoming, you know, increasingly unstable and hysterical.
It's becoming wrong.
And dangerous for that reason.
It's becoming wrong. And it's,
well, it's dangerous. I mean, it's dangerous. We are losing our capacity to be civil with one another and, you know, just kind of respect other people's opinions. I don't mean you have to believe them, but something we are losing manners. Here's an article from the Associated.
And I do respect other people's opinion. That's how I get. You almost have to, you know, but it's never the two ways. They never respect your opinion. They don't respect my opinions. And that's what's wrong with the liberals. You know, they want everybody, they want to force their beliefs.
They believe in
you.
Democracy as long as they're in the majority. Everybody believes in democracy as long as our side wins. But when our side loses, that's when we find out, if do you really believe in democracy or do you believe in power? And what we see from the liberals lately is that they believe in power. They don't care about what's right or wrong. It's hooray for our side and blah, blah, blah. Here's an article from the Associated Press. The headline is Far-Right Hopeful, French Election, Choice of Civilization. Mm-hmm. French far-right candidate Marine Le Pen blasted the two totalitarianisms of globalism and Islamic fundamentalism. Now we're talking about French and France, and she is a candidate for to be the Prime Minister of France. In a speech, formally launching her presidential campaign that hit the right chords for her National Front Party followers. Le Pen evoked a frightening image of France's future during her speech. The country, enslaved to the European Union and unrecognizable as French, risks losing its identity if the political status quo endures. We are at a crossroads. This election is a choice of civilization. All right? Now, that's radical talk, and yet I believe it's correct. And we've seen something much like that with the Trump election here in the United States. We have a contest between the left and the right, and we are polarized. And we are facing a choice of what kind of civilization are we going to live in here. And this issue is up for grabs, and it's not just here, it's in France and other countries too, I'm sure. She's asking whether her three children and other young citizens would have the rights and cultural signposts of the current generation. Will they even speak our French language? Right? She, like me, is concerned about maintaining the French. She's concerned about maintaining the French culture. I'm concerned about maintaining the American culture. And there's reasons for it. That culture is what made us prosperous and powerful. And if you're going to sit back and say, oh, you know, if you can bring them all in and we'll all work it out and we'll sing Kumbaya and you have your culture and I'll have mine and somebody else has another culture. No, that's a bunch of nonsense, because a lot of these cultures are not capable of doing much other than generating maybe a wooden wheel. If you want to roll around on ox carts, there are cultures available who will provide ox carts for you. If you want to roll around in an automobile that gets pretty good gas mileage and accelerates and rest of that sort of thing, it takes a particular kind of culture. This doesn't happen in primitive cultures. If you want to maintain your prosperity, you must maintain your culture. It's not, the two are not separated. This is not the sort of thing where you sit back and say, well, I can be a Muslim and still be rich. No, you can't. You can't be a Muslim fundamentalist. That is a theocracy, and strict and strident. And part of the reason that Muslims come here from foreign countries is they come here because they need to predate on Christendom. They don't want to support, which is a culture, not just a faith. It's a culture. It's a system of values. It creates, you can be productive in a Christian country. I'd like to see how productive you can be and how wealthy you think you can be in a Muslim country. I know some people are. But it's not generally available to the same degree that it has been available over the years in this country. And now maybe it's, you know, less available today than it has been in the past. But I want to illustrate, first off, what we're seeing with Trump and what we're seeing with Brexit, we're seeing in France, and we'll see it in other countries too, and partly because we are impoverished, we're out of work, we're anxious, we are frightened, we are inclined to overreact. But there's a point to some of this, and if you want to be prosperous, you have to adopt a culture capable of generating that prosperity. We're going to take a break for a couple of more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Won't you take me back to school?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
We have a little special today. It's the normal special we have with 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles, along with 20 American Silver Eagles. 2017 is the date for the Silver Eagles, and the dates on the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles are mixed dates, but they're all brilliant, uncirculated condition, beautiful coins. $560, that includes all your shipping costs. You're saving about $4 on those 1/10 ounce, which is an incredible savings when you're looking at a 1/10 of an ounce of gold. So you're looking at about $40 an ounce that you're saving. And the American Silver Eagles, you're getting charged $2.45 over spot. So a great deal for both. It includes your shipping costs, $560. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. And make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter.
Now, we were talking about instability, in a sense, political instability. It's in France. It's in the United States. Polarization, what's going to happen? I've got an article here from the AFP, which is a French news service, and the headline is "Tensions Flare Between Uneasy Allies, Greece and Turkey." Turkey is once again facing off against historic foe-turned-ally Greece, and one of the fiercest rows in years, though the war of words is unlikely to spill over into military confrontation. With some 2 months before Turks vote on a critical referendum to enhance presidential powers, this renewed dispute is fueling nationalist sentiment inside Turkey. And the point to this article, there's more to it than that, but the point to it is here we have Greece and Turkey. We have a potential flare-up point. There's a contest here that'll probably... conflict that will probably just blow over, right? More than likely, nothing's going to come of this. People get up there and rattle their sabers, and there'll be some rhetoric and blah, 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 but it'll just die. It'll probably just die in a little while. But it's an illustration of how many places there may be on this globe where people are ready to, they're not far removed from the idea of picking up a gun and going to war. Again, I think it has to do with our poverty. I think our lack of prosperity, lack of optimism, and increasing paranoia, where we're afraid, we know we're losing things, right? In a number of countries. Not everyone knows, not everyone would agree, but a lot of people think we are suffering losses. Loss of freedom, loss of rights, loss of culture, loss of language, loss of religion. It seems that the people who are supposed to be protecting the people of France are betraying them. It seems like the people of England who are supposed to be protecting the English people are betraying them. It seems like the government of the United States, which is in theory supposed to be protecting us, is actually betraying us. It makes us angry. It makes us frightened. It makes us vulnerable and to hysteria and one thing and another. And it's not just happening here. We see it here. We see it France. We see it England, Greece and Turkey, China, Japan, Ukraine and Russia, and the Middle East, of course. That's always a tinderbox. So you sit there and you wonder to yourself, how far can we go with this before all of a sudden one of these crazy little conflicts that's mostly just a war of words and people flipping each other the bird, you know? Hey, you give each other insults and it goes no further than that. How long before some of it does go further and perhaps balloons into something that is bigger and more dangerous than we might have anticipated or expected? And I'm just saying there are a bunch of flashpoints around the world, and there's not much doubt about this. And it's one of the reasons why, of course, some people wind up buying gold, faced with that kind of uncertainty. And Trump he's been in office for 2 weeks. Everybody's guessing what he's going to do next. I mean, you can call the psychic hotline to figure out what's he up to next. Because he's going to do something. I'm a little surprised we haven't heard something major today. May have happened, but I didn't hear about it. But you almost expect an hourly report on Trump. What's he done now? It contributes to instability. That instability, that threat of instability, drives the price of gold higher. And as it goes higher, more people will want gold and blah, blah, blah. If things are going to settle down, and as Rodney King said, why can't we all just get along? Well, if we can, then the price of gold probably is going to go downward. On the other hand, if we can't all just get along, and it doesn't look like we can, then we can expect that the price is going higher. And people who are interested in that sort of thing sit back and say, well, maybe I ought to get some gold. Maybe I ought to get some gold. Strange things are happening. The world is unstable. Do you think the world is unstable, Melody?
I think the world is very fragile. I think the monetary system is fragile. You have countries, these emerging markets, they have this newfound wealth that they didn't have 20 years ago, 15 years ago. You have everybody is vying for the position. You have people, the citizens of these countries, that are beaten down in the dirt with debt. They have no money. Sure, they live. I mean, you look at the people here in this country, you would know that we have any financial problems, would we? I mean, people are driving new cars. We have homes are selling for $250,000. The latest TVs are always bought. They have, all kinds of, trinkets that everyone is out there buying. People are going to restaurants. They're eating out. Doesn't seem like we have it too bad.
But we don't compared to the rest of the world. That's true.
But the underlying item that connects us to every country around the world is we have all of our things through debt.
Yep.
And we just have debt with a different face. We have a bigger illusion than a lot of these
really
other
paying
countries.
For things. We have things, but we haven't paid for them. They are stacking up. The debt is piling up bigger and bigger and bigger. And again, the analogy is we're using our MasterCard to pay off our Visa, to pay off our American Express.
And it's just
we got a bunch of stuff, and it looks like things are peachy. But fundamentally, if you're not paying your bills, you got a problem. If you're getting over because the government is helping to pay your debt, they're letting you discharge your debts with Federal Reserve notes rather than paying for them. This is a big systemic problem. And if it continues, it will for a while anyway, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and sooner or later, there's going to be that moment where people say, oh my gosh, you won't believe this, but it looks like the government can't pay its bills. Who would have thought it was possible, Melody? Right? Because if it turns out that way, all the bonds, or at least a bunch of them, are going to turn out to be worthless or substantially worthless. People are going to lose the assets that they had invested into those bonds. They're going to lose whatever assets they put into pension funds that invested in bonds. Banks are going to lose whatever they've paid for bonds. The problem will be enormous, and it has to happen. And the only thing I wish that I could tell you is when. And I don't think anyone can. I don't know when. Could happen this year, might not happen for several years. I don't know when it's going to happen. I wish I could tell you. I mean, it is really the big question. If you could answer the when, all right, you could probably become fabulously wealthy. If you really knew when the stuff was going to hit the impeller, you could probably become fabulously wealthy. It's the big mystery is when, but what's going to happen is not mysterious. We're going to see a serious problem here, and when it happens, the debt won't be paid. And when it's not, those bonds become worthless. And the people who've invested their wealth in those bonds, they say, ha-ha, I have a paper asset. I'm saying, ha-ha, no, you don't. You have a paper debt instrument in a world where the debt can't be paid. What are you going to do? You're going to have big trouble. So from my perspective, you prepare for it, you prepare for it, you prepare for it, and it's not a bad thing. Things are postponed. I don't know how long they can hold this off, but the longer they can postpone the problem, facing the inevitable, the longer they can avoid that, well, the more time you have to accumulate whatever supplies and resources you think you're going to need if you agree that we're headed for big trouble. If we're going to get to that trouble tomorrow, you don't have much time to prepare. You better be ready to go right now. If we're not going to get there for another 2 years, for example, good. Gives us 2 more years to get ready, get a little more acquired, a little more accumulated. We're in better shape. But we are facing that frustration of wondering, when do we find out about the now? When do we get the now, Melody?
When do we get the now? Who, what,
yeah,
when?
Not the now.
Well,
when
we know
when we get
who.
The when.
We know who, we know what, we know how. We just don't know the when.
It's kind of like Abbott and Costello. I mean, who's on first and when's on second? It's
one
kind of a
favorites.
Comedy routine, but it's not funny. It cannot continue much longer. But it could continue several years. Or it could be gone this fall. Who knows? And that's part of it. You really are. It's incumbent on all of us to try to prepare as best we can. This is a Ponzi scheme. And it's going to blow up just like Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme blew up. It's going to fail. We just don't know when. So you can see it coming, but you don't know when it's going to get here. What's next, Melody?
And, you know, there is just so much uncertainty in the world, and that'll bring the markets down faster than anything. Because there isn't anything underneath the market, so it's just a little bit of uncertainty. But it was really good to see gold break away today. We'll see what it goes. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, one day doesn't make a trend. But it was a good sign to see the strength in gold with the dollar higher and bonds lower. So remember, folks, this is a great special, $560. I mean, we have all kinds of coins here. We have 1 ounce coins. We have our $20 gold pieces. They're beginning to take off. That spread's getting a little bit bigger and bigger. From when I was able to sell Mint State 62 $20 gold pieces at bullion prices. So that spread can't be done anymore. You can get close, but they're beginning to take off. It doesn't take a lot. And I think those coins are driven, the premiums are driven in fear-driven markets. And baby, I think we're going to see so much fear come into these markets real soon that the spreads will become exciting. It'll be exciting to see those spreads gain like we saw back in 2011. So only this time there will be no stopping. There won't be any bailouts. They'll try.
No, but I don't think there'll be any bailouts.
They'll try to do the bailouts.
They'll make a few gestures to see if they can put the thing back on track.
But the difference this time around is they'll try the bailouts. The difference this time is it's global, happening at once. Last time it wasn't global. This time it will be global, and any attempts will fail. That's how I see it. So,
What else we got? Oh, I got one from Patrick J. Buchanan.
Good
coming
one.
Clash with Iran.
Good one.
He says, when General Michael Flynn marched into the White House briefing room to declare that, quote, we are officially putting Iran on notice, he drew a red line for President Trump. In tweeting the threat, Trump agreed. Now, that's an interesting, right? General walks in, we're given putting Iran on notice, and Trump says, yeah, let's do it. At least he appears to have done it by tweeting. I don't know that you can be bound by your tweets, Melody. You can make more out of these tweets than maybe they're worth. But nevertheless, Buchanan goes ahead and he says, Trump's credibility is now on the line. What triggered this virtual ultimatum? Iran-backed Houthi rebels said Flynn attacked a Saudi warship in Tehran, tested a missile, undermining the security, prosperity, and stability throughout the Middle East, and placing American lives at risk. I don't see how he's placing American lives at risk. I don't doubt that there's some potential for that, but point that Buchanan is trying to make and that I agree with is that they are trying to move us and maneuver us into a situation where we have a war with Iran. There are forces at work that want a war with Iran. Whether that war is valid, justified, or just a pretext in a sense, it's false and fraudulent, remains to be seen. But talk about instability, talk about rising price of gold. When we see something like this break out, some kind of a war against Iran, I guarantee it's going to kick the price of gold higher. And know where will it go from there? Not just gold, but how big can it be? Because Russia is a patron for Iran. So, I don't know. The whole thing is bizarre. It's scary, but we have to do what we can to deal with it. I'm Alfred Adisk. Here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams.